Why don't we have a quick word of prayer, commit our time to the Lord. Father, thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon this assembly in the past year. Lord, you are good. You are good all the time. And we bless you and we praise you. We thank you for each soul that is here today. Father, speak to us today through your Spirit. Challenge us, Lord, for the new year. Prepare our hearts now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Some weeks ago, we had a study that had this title to it. It was called, From the Pewhood to the Priesthood. The idea was that we, as believers, have been gifted by God. And we're not to just come and attend. But we are to, you know, I'm not advocating that we go back to the Levitical priesthood. This is kind of an illustration. That we go from the pewhood to just attending to using the spiritual gifts that God has given us. And so the subtitle today is Your Destiny in God's Global Plan for the Nations. Now before we begin, let me say this. As you know, I get around through the year to visit different churches, different assemblies. And I am thrilled to tell you that I have observed that the percentage of people in our assembly that are using their spiritual gifts is way above average. Way to go. Thank you. Continue to do so. Hone your gifts. Use your gifts. Exercise your gifts. However, if you are here today and you do not know what your spiritual gift is, are not using your gift, I want to encourage you today. This is a message for you. Today we're going to be talking about two issues. Number one, you can see in the picture there with the gift and the hand, we're going to be talking about using our spiritual gifts. For example, on the back white shelves, we have this blue piece of paper. And on this blue piece of paper, we have ministry teams. Many of you are involved in a ministry team. Some of you are involved in the evangelism committee or the decorating committee or whatever committee you're on. You are using your spiritual gift. But part two of this message is our involvement in evangelism and missions. Let me just put it this way. Yes, use your gift, but you must have this idea. No matter what your gift is, beyond the use of your gift, all of us, whether you have the gift of evangelism or not, all of us, beyond the use of our gift here in edifying the body of Christ, all of us are to be involved in evangelism and missions. Let me put it this way. If you leave here on Sunday and go through your week with little or no thought for the lost or God's global plan for the nations, that is not normal. That is not how God intended us to live. You remember in our last message, I said this, last words are lasting words. Some of the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples, to us, was to make disciples of the nations. All of us are to be involved. And so if you live your day in and day out with little or no thought for the lost around you, or how do I fit in somehow into God's global plan? That is not normal Christian living. And I would ask you today that when you leave here, that you would speak to God about this issue. And here's why. I believe that the most wonderful experience on the planet for a Christian is a Christian who is, number one, using their spiritual gift to build up the body of Christ and to reach out and be part of what God is doing around the world. I think you'd agree with me on that. Beloved, you have a gift. When you came to faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life, the Holy Spirit gave you a gift, perhaps more than one. And the world and the church needs you to use your gift. Let me explain. This is still review, by the way, if you haven't noticed. The Bible uses a metaphor of the body. When I came to faith in Jesus Christ in 1978, God baptized me, or He placed me into His mystical body. Christ is the head. We're all members. I like that metaphor. The Bible says, now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. If you are a Christian, you are part of the body of Christ. Now, the reason I like that is if you take that metaphor to the human side, we all know that the body has many parts. And for a human being to function properly, all or most of all the parts of your body need to function. But if a part or two in your body stops functioning, you know it immediately. You begin to become weak or sick or handicapped. Well, it's the same way in the body of Christ. Beloved, if you are a Christian and you are not using your spiritual gift, you are causing problems in the body of Christ. You're causing a drag. You're causing weakness to the body of Christ. And so I challenge you today, if you do not know what your spiritual gift is and you're not using it, to really bring this before the Lord in the new year for prayer. Now, people say, well, how do I know what my spiritual gift is? You know, some people use tests and all this other thing. I'm going to give you this is no-nonsense advice. You want to know what your spiritual gift is? Get involved in your local church and start serving. And when you see blessing coming from what you're doing, that's probably your spiritual gift. If you do good in serving or mercy or evangelism, that's probably a good sign that that is your gift. It is my observation that the vast majority of U.S. evangelicals not only are not using their gift, but they don't even know what it is because they come, they attend, and they go back and live their daily lives with little or no thought to service or evangelism or missions. So, here is our main verse. This is the main verse that we used last time in our study. This is a paradigm-shifting verse. Because in America, I believe we have a broken model when it comes to ministry in the church. We have this idea that the pastor, the elders, the missionaries, and the full-time workers, those are the guys that handle the spiritual stuff. We all have jobs, and we can't be involved in that. That is wrong. That is causing huge damage to the body of Christ. Now, notice this verse. This is a verse, when I came to it, just blew my mind away. Because I came out of a system where you had the clergy and the laity, and the clergy did all the holy work, and us, you know, unholy people, we can only get so close to being serving God. But here's what he says. He, the Lord Jesus, he personally gave some to be apostles, prophets, and evangelism, some pastors and teachers. So God has given gifted men to the church. Now watch. He gave these gifted men. Now watch this. For the training of the saints in the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. This is elementary, right? What this is saying is that you, beloved, you and you and you, young people, I'm so glad you're up here today. God's plan is that you get involved somewhere in the use of your spiritual gift, building up the body of Christ. Let's move on. There should be no passive spectators. It is my observation, and you can disagree with me. I believe America has one of the most largest passive groups of Christians on the planet. Christians that come, they come cold, they've not studied, they're not prepared to participate in the Lord's study, they've been out late, there's no Bible study going on, no ministry, they're just minimum. They come, they're a passive spectator, and then they leave, they go through their work week, and they come back. This is not how God intended the body to function. Every one of us, no spectators. Now, this, I believe, is one of the key slides to this study. I just want to read this. Yet all, regardless of our gifting, are to be involved in evangelization and discipleship of the nations. We would like to set the tone for the new year, that every person in our assembly be moving forward, not only in serving the Lord, but in growing in the knowledge of the Lord. If you're not a reader, and I know a lot of folks are not readers today, I would like to personally challenge you today to reconsider that. If you're not a reader, If you're not a Bible student, we would like every person in our assembly, no matter where you are in your walk, to be growing, to have a perhaps a mentor, or if you're a mature Christian, somebody that you can identify to study with. Maybe have breakfast every other Saturday at wherever and study a passage. We would like everybody to move from just being an attender to being a reproducer. Oh, I can't do that. I don't know the Bible. I get nervous. Look, you knew how much it took to get saved. Just take that to someone else. For example, when I was a young man, I worked at our uncle's Ford dealership up in the state of Washington, and he had this cool black, oh, what was that car called? What was that car? The Thunderbird. And when you started it up, this coolest thing happened. This hidden antenna would go, and would come up. I thought that was the cool. I used to sit there and turn it off and on to watch the antenna go up and down. I believe many Christians don't have their antenna up when they go through life. So here's my challenge. Whether you're in college or in the neighborhood or in the workplace, when you go into work, picture yourself with this antenna going up. What that means is you're going to be sensitive to your colleagues around you that are going to the lake of fire forever. Now, you're not going to cram the gospel down. You're going to begin by loving them and doing good deeds and kindnesses and hospitality and using your spiritual gifting. We want everybody here sitting in these chairs not to be just an attender. You are a reproducer. Think outside the box. When you go to, you know, when I went to work, do your job. Don't be one of these Christians that uses the boss's time to evangelize. Be the best employee. But in the process, have your antenna up. Start a Bible study. Put salt in their food. Have a Bible study with the goal. Wouldn't it be cool that at the end of this year we have 4 satellite churches of Fenton Crossing because you started a Bible study with your colleagues or in your neighborhood? Let's begin in the new year to think. Get involved. Study. Pray. Get on your knees. Fast. Folks, we are at war. We are in a battle for the souls of humanity. We're not free to go on and pursue the American dream. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. This is the goal for the new year, that all of us, beloved, be reproducing wherever God plants you, whether you're a homemaker of the neighborhood, in the job site, at college, wherever you are. Have your antenna up. Yes, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a carpenter, whatever, I'm a student, but I'm also a servant in the kingdom of God. By the way, if all of us just go through our normal week thinking, well, you know, they can do that. Who's they? Everybody just about thinks that. We all have to be involved somewhere in God's global plan. Quote from Rick Wood in Missions Frontier. Every believer needs to have the identity of a disciple maker, not a member, a church member or attender. I would like to challenge you today. If you come here and you just attend and then you go home and you go through your normal day, do you have tracks? Are you studying the Bible? Do you have a plan for your coworkers? We don't want this. We want this. This is normal Christian living. Wouldn't it be cool if everybody, all of us, were firing on all pistons? Rick Wood also said this. We have to get away from the idea that all God expects of us is to go to church on Sunday and give our tithes. This is the American model. This is not a biblical model. Someday we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and Christ is going to say, look, when you got saved, you lived for 60 years, I gave you this gift. What did you do? Well, Lord, you know, missions is the business of all people, not just a few chosen that we designate as pastors, elders, full-time workers, or missionaries. You are a missionary with a day job. Most people that come to the Lord don't come by the evangelist. They come through normal people, moms and dads and friends and neighbors and co-workers. That is our job. This command, this is the end of our review, by the way. This command has not been taken off the table. Now, here's how I think a lot of people say, well, you know what? I'm in college right now, and when I get finished, then I'll start working. No! Get your college degree, but along the way, get that antenna out there. Your coworkers. Others say, well, right now I'm raising the kids. I can't. Okay, raise your kids, but have your antenna up for the other ladies. Start a young ladies Bible study, something. People say, well, you know what? I'm a businessman. I can't. I got work, and I come home, and I'm tired. Fine, we know it. Unfortunately, we are required to work many more hours back than 20 years ago. Work hard. Go for the promotion, but along the way, have your antennas out for your coworkers. Have the goal. I want to start a Bible study at my work. I want to see a local church planted through my Bible study. Others say, well, you know, I'm retired. I'm done. No. You know what? Retired people, I gave you my illustration of McDonald's. The best run McDonald's are run by who? Not teenagers. My favorite McDonald's are run by... Why? Retired people, they got it. I really love retired people. If you're retired here today, just hold on to your seat because I got some really cool stuff coming for you. Now, from here on out, I would like to give you a barrage of ideas. I don't want to overwhelm you. I'm not saying that you should do everything I say on the screen. What I'm doing is giving you a smorgasbord of things that, hey, you know what? I like that one. Just some ideas that you can get involved with. First, we're going to start off on the home front. What can we do here? And then how can we affect God's global plan in the nation? We have to remember. Now, remember in our last message, we talked about globalization. The traditional method of sending missionaries from here to there, that's still good, but something bigger is going on. It's called globalization. People are moving all over the world, and we know that the nations have come to our neighborhood. They're coming up through Mexico. They're coming from around the world. Have you noticed this when you go to the mall? Have you noticed this in your neighborhood? Something is going on. There's 5,000 Asians that live in Maryland Heights alone. God is bringing the world to America's doorstep. I like this phrase. You remember the end of the earth? The end of the earth has come to the end of our street, and I want to talk to you about that today. Just locally here, just to give you some ideas, in the metro area, this is just a few, there's about 70,000 Latins. St. Louis has the biggest congregation of Bosnians, people group, outside of Bosnia. Did you know that? Asians, these are the numbers of foreign-born people just in our area. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to give you some illustrations, some suggestions. You know what ESL stands for? English as a second language. Cindy and I were involved for about 3 years over in Columbia, Illinois. We had the opportunity to share the gospel with dozens and dozens of Mexicans. It's an easy thing to do. You can do this at home. If you want to start a ministry here, well, put some ads in a Spanish newspaper. Come to Fenton. We'll teach you English. We'll support you. English as a second language. Amazing thing happens when you're teaching foreigners English. They become your friends. And you have an opportunity to share Christ with them eventually. Now, I want to spend some time on this one. International students. In the next month or so, we're going to be showing some promotional videos and a training video, possibly here, on how you can be involved in making a friend with an international student. I would recommend International Students, Inc. Great doctrinal statement. It could be our own. Here's their website. ISI Online has nothing to do with Emmaus Bible College, not their ISI. International Students, Inc. ISIonline.org. I have some literature I want to show you here in just a second. Listen to this. There are currently 750,000 international students studying at U.S. colleges and universities. 75% of them will never see the inside of an American home. 80% of them will never enter a church while in the United States. You say, well, What's the big deal? Why should we focus on this group? Well, here's some reasons. We talked about the 1040 window, right? Most of those countries in that rectangle are closed to traditional missions. So what does God do? He does something wonderful. He says, all right, I'm going to bring them to you. They're here. Have you noticed that? They're here. 60% of international students in America come from the least reached parts of the world. By reaching an international student and befriending them and possibly leading them to the Lord, you send them back home as a missionary. Think about this. Of the 220 heads of state in the world, 40% once studied in the United States. Just think. Well, let me just show you. Hey, recognize anybody here? Benazir Bhutto, former Prime Minister of Pakistan, attended Radcliffe College. Prince Saud Faisal, former Minister of Foreign Affairs in Saudi Arabia, studied in the United States. See that mug there? I don't know how to say his name. Radovan Karadzic or whatever. Former Bosnian Serb, studied here in the United States. Why do I bring this up on a slide? What might the political and spiritual climate of the world look like today if these leaders and others like them had been given the opportunity to hear the gospel and see it lived out in the lives of Christian Americans who reached out to them in love and friendship? Do you know that some of the hijackers that flew planes into the towers studied at U.S. colleges? What if you would have befriended one of those? It's a long shot. It's a possibility, though, right? The world would have been different if you would have helped them see a better worldview and get to know not Allah, but our God Almighty. So, I don't know. I feel uncomfortable reaching out to foreign students. Here's a little look behind the curtain of what foreign students think. More than one in three foreign students in a new survey say they have no close U.S. friends, and many say they wish they had more and more meaningful relationships with Americans. Young people, I'm glad you're up here today. I would like to challenge you. If you're going to go to college, would you consider staying in the international dorm? You kill two birds with one stone. You get your college education, but you can help foreign students, help them with their homework, bring them home for Christmas, bring them to our church, group, get the youth group to get involved, give out one foreign student to each person in the youth group or our college and career age. Here's some more. Many students from abroad, and especially the recent influx of undergraduates from China, are struggling to integrate in American classrooms and dorm rooms. Overall, 38% of international students surveyed were not satisfied with the number of American friends, and 27% said they were unhappy with the quality of those relationships. Let me put this in street language. The international students are saying, American young people, get involved in our lives. We're lonely. We need your help. 46% blame an internal factor such as shyness or poor English language ability. But watch this. 54% said they hold American students responsible. Many of us go through life and the foreigners, we call them the invisible people. We see them, but they're different. They're a different color. They have a different culture. We don't go near them. Here's what one said. I wish they were more open and culturally sensitive, wrote one student of his American classmates. Now you say, well, why? Why should we focus on international students? Think about this. International students in America will fill half of the world's top positions in education, the military, politics, and business around the world. Can you imagine the impact that we can have in the lives of these young people who are going to return to their countries? They're going to be the generals and the prime ministers and the CEOs of corporations. Let me take a commercial break here. This is the starter package of how to get involved in international ministries. Soon we're going to have an insert bulletin. It comes with a little brochure that gives you all the information. It gives you a training book and some articles. Here's what I would like you to do. In the next month as we address this, would you pray? Would you ask the Lord, Lord, would you have me get involved in an international student's life? Now, look, all this is, and by the way, I have a list here of all the universities and colleges in the St. Louis area. Let me just give you some numbers here. Wash U has 2,200 foreign students. St. Louis University, 1,200. St. Louis Community College, 555. Lindenwood, 1,207. And it goes on and on and on. They're all around us. So what does that include? Well, I'll just give you the short version right now. We're going to have a video sometime in the future. Once a month, twice a month, you get assigned, you call them up, you take them to lunch, you invite them over to the house, whatever, you take them golfing, whatever you like. You help them with their homework. You help them get their driver's license. You make a friendship so that eventually we can introduce them to the Savior. International students. International Students, Inc., you can become a friendship partner. That's what I'm talking about. Or if God is speaking to you, you could be the coordinator here at Fenton Crossing. You could be a ministry partner where you coordinate for all of us here. You hook us up. We'll talk about that later. Here's what you get. You get, you're not just thrown to the wolves. They'll help you. They'll give you a Jesus film in the language of the person you are befriending. They'll give you a religious and country profile. They'll give you a background. They'll give you training materials, world-class training and support, Bibles in their languages to help you minister to these people. Now, you know what those are? Those are called baby boomers. You know what every baby boomer has? They have that. You know what that is called? That's an empty bedroom. Now, what I'm talking about is befriending them once a month. That doesn't include housing them. But you can go to the next level. You can actually open up your home for an international student. So keep that in mind. By the way, in the United, or in Missouri, we have over 16,000 international students. And these are the top five countries that they come from. China. You'd think it'd be Mexico, but it's not. China, India, et cetera, et cetera. So here we go. Are you ready? Hold on to your seat. Marriage is missions. Now, this is a no-brainer. Why do I have this slide up there? Here's why. It is my observation that most young Christian couples get married and they go on in life with little or no thought about missions or evangelism or the lost people in their apartment complex. Use your marriage as missions. Wives, get the antenna up for the ladies in your neighborhood. Men, offer to cut your neighbor's grass when he's on vacation. There's 1,000 things you can do. Use your marriage as missions. Open the doors. You should be the most hospitable person in your neighborhood. You should have a list. You should have every family in your neighborhood over for dinner. Something magical happens when we have people in our homes. If you don't have time, quit a Christian ministry. We're going to have plenty of time to hang out around the throne. We don't have time when it's over to witness to the lost. Use your gifting. Open up your home. Many years ago, John Knox was so burdened for his country of Scotland that he prayed, "Give me Scotland or I die." Where is that passion today? Give me my neighborhood, Lord. Give me my co-workers. Do you know that every Christian has an average of about 70 people in their weekly routine? The guy in the cubicle next to you, the milkman, the grocery guy, where you buy your gas. Get the antenna up. Ask God in the new year, "Lord, I work at Quick Trip. I work at the bank. I work here. Give me my co-workers, Lord." They're on their way to the lake of fire. I want to show you what I believe is America's greatest evangelistic tool. Are you ready for this? What do you think is going to pop up there? You ready? In my opinion, the greatest evangelistic tool is your home. Have people over. Get to know your neighbors. Get to know your colleagues. It's easy. I don't have a lot of money. I don't know how to cook. Just have some Campbell's soup, whatever. Get them in the house. Show them that you care about them, especially the foreign ones. What else can you do? Just a little plug here. Randy did not talk to me. He doesn't know this is coming. He did not pay me this. Cindy and I were regional directors of the Quito region of the Emmaus Correspondence School. In our heyday, we were correcting 1,000 courses a month. Here's a ministry that you can be involved in. The Emmaus Correspondence Ministry is the largest correspondence school in the world. Nearly 20 million courses have been distributed in the last 65 years. Every year, 1.3 million courses are distributed. There are courses in 125 languages and 105 countries around the world. This is a good ministry. Prison ministry. Get involved. Maybe this is touching your heart right now. Hey, I could do that. Yeah. You can talk to Randy. Talk to some of the volunteers. Get involved in prison ministry. Well, I don't like getting up in front of people. That's okay. You can lick envelopes. You can file. You can correct. You can grade. But I'll tell you what. This here, whew, that is powerful ministry. I went a couple months ago with my dad, and I had basically about the class that looked just like that. I got to tell you. You go in there, you're expecting these hard, mean, hardened criminals. These are softened men that are just dying to hear some instruction from the Word of God. If you sense that you're not experiencing all God wants you to experience, maybe you're kind of pining away, I don't have a job, or I don't have a girlfriend, poor me. Get involved in ministry. It'll change your life. It'll change your world. Not to mention what it'll do for other people. Now, let's switch from home to how can I be involved in God's global plan for the nations? All right, you ready? Educate yourself. That's right. What do I mean? How can I get involved? Now, I just want to spend a few minutes here. Many of you probably don't know that we're kind of called the Plymouth Brethren. People outside of our churches call us the Plymouth Brethren. Did you know? Let me show you something here. We have a missionary prayer handbook. In Canada and the United States, there's about 1,200 churches like ours. We have about 1,300 missionaries out around the world. Many of them are involved in church planning, orphanages, aviation, Bible translation. You also have the privilege to have elders who serve on boards, who are ex-missionaries. Folks, we are well connected around the world. Young people, if you're interested in missions, we'll hook you up. We know pilots. We know missionary doctors. We could pick up the phone. Hey, I got this young person who wants to spend 3 months with you in medical caravans. You're hooked up. CMML, Christian Missions in Many Lands. We have that DVD. If you're interested in missions, come to your spiritual leaders. We'll hook you up. Take a missions course. I told you. Cindy and I took this course this spring. It ruined our lives. We're never going to be the same. We don't look at the world anymore. Get Missions Frontiers magazine. You've read Radical, right? This is what this is about. Take a missions course. What else? By the way, some people say, well, you know, I'm getting old. Listen to what Stanley and Clinton said about learning. We have observed that most people cease learning by the age of 40. By that we mean they no longer actively pursue knowledge, understanding, and experience that will enhance their capacity to grow and contribute to others. Most simply rest on what they already know, but those who finish well maintain a positive learning attitude all of their lives. I'm 54 years old. I had to do homework. I would pay $10,000 to take that course. That's how important it was to me. It changed my whole life. We don't live the same anymore. And there's all kinds of resources. Here's an Emmaus course. God's mandate for missions. Maybe you and your children can study this in your home. Here's another book written by Jim and Sharon Fleming, How to Receive, How to Minister to Missionaries. Urbana, go to a missions conference. Right now, Patrick, Tim Day, and Veronica Hoppe are at this conference. This conference will change your life. It's going to be here in 3 years again. I challenge you to go. Attend a missions conference. It'll open up your perspective to what God is doing around the world. Read missionary biographies. I will tell you, I ended up on the mission field by and large by being inspired. These are the three that inspired me the most. Lords of the Earth, Through Gates of Splendor, and Peace Child. Read missionary biographies. We have a whole box of them in the back in the closet. This will change your life. Now, why is Superman on this slide? Not just because he was my hero growing up. Now, modern day, these are my guys. This is my all-time favorite superheroes cartoon. The banter between the husband and wife is fantastic. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. What would you do if you had superpowers? Well, if you had superpowers, you'd probably say something like this. We would use them to help others. What would you say if I told you that you do have superpowers? You do have superpowers. You can pray. Are we a praying church? Do we pray? How much do we pray? Here's the motto for Operation World. When a man works. But when a man prays, God works. Isn't that great? I like what Oswald Chambers said. Prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. Your life not going well? I would encourage you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8:30. We have a prayer meeting here every week. Oh, my marriage, my husband, my wife, my job, I get sick, I can't do this. Come, we'll pray for you. We'll enact our superpowers. We'll bend God's ear down to hear our prayers. Pray. Operation World, I encourage you to buy this book. Every day, a new country. There's switching into Spanish here. There's an outline. You can pray around the world. Great resource. Here's another resource. Operation World by Jason. The future of the global church, if you're interested in missions. And by the way, I would encourage you to join our missions group. Some years ago, we formed our missions group. We only have 3 people on the missions group. I would encourage you to speak to me. We'll get you hooked up in our missions group. William Carey, many years ago, was in a meeting, and they were talking about missions. And they were so convicted, some of the older men said, "Well, who will go?" And William Carey stood up and said, "I will go if you hold the ropes." Folks, we need to hold the ropes. Initiate a prayer meeting for missionaries and for the nations. Here's another thing you can do. Adopt a country, a missionary, or a people group. Join the mission committee at your church. We're talking about, oh, my kids, the kids of these days. Do our children see us? Do they know what is really important to us? Do they see that we're involved, that we care about what's going on, what God is doing? Folks, we are at war, not at play. Prayer is like a war walkie-talkie. You know, there's 6,900 unreached people groups in the world still today. I want to encourage you to go online to www.joshuaproject.net, and you can sign up, and every day you will get an email with a piece of paper like this, and it'll give you an unreached people group to pray for. It'll give you the name, what language, what percent are Christians, usually under 2%. All the unreached are under 2%. And you can have it on your handheld device, your pad, or whatever technology that you're into. The Joshua Project.net. This will help you have a bigger perspective of what God is doing. You can facilitate a monthly Skype call at your church for your missionaries. Can you imagine how encouraged Rick Bovey would be if every month we had a little Skype call? Hey, Rick, how you doing, buddy? We're praying for you. Tell us, give us some prayer requests. When Rick hangs up, what do you think he's going to feel? Wow, my church loves me. They care about me. Sign up to receive missionary prayer letters and emails. I'm asking for a volunteer. Step forward. Every week we get prayer letters from missionaries. I don't have the time to go through and decipher this. We would like somebody to go through, to be the guy that gets all the missionary letters, synthesizes them, and give a 5-minute presentation, perhaps once a month. Get involved. Begin a ministry of encouragement to missionaries. I'd start off by reading Jim and Sharon Fleming's book. Here's another way. We're running out of time, real quick. Short-term missions. We talked about Christian missions in many lands. Mr. Brian Kramer, who I met, every month he sends out a prayer list. Between MSC in Canada and CMML in the United States, he'll tell you all the short-term opportunities around the world. Medical missions, building constructions, tract distribution. Yes, that's right. Right here in-house, we have this. Folks, these are not young people on vacation. These are young people touching lives for eternity. And it's not just for young people. Voice of the Martyrs, you can volunteer. I would encourage you to talk to Ed Johnson. Ed Johnson went to their headquarters. You can minister. You can take a youth group. You can take an adult group. How about sacrificing your vacation next year, for a week of service? Today, every day, 480 believers will be martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. You can minister in this ministry. You want another ministry? I bet you didn't know this. What about human trafficking and slavery? Do you know right now in the modern world, between 20 to 30 million, there are 30 million slaves in the world today. 80% of all human trafficking involves sexual exploitation, and 19% involves labor exploitation. Nearly 2 million children are exploited in the commercial sex industry. You want a ministry? Here's a ministry for you. How about this? Half of trafficking victims in the world are under the age of 18. Every year, more than 15,000 women are smuggled into the United States. Every year are trafficked either to work as a slave or as a sex slave. This is terrible. It is estimated between 30 to 150 million children, young people, live on the streets of the major cities and towns of the world. You want a ministry? You can go right now down to Brazil. They have over 1 million children living on the streets. Start an orphanage. Minister to them. Now, he's throwing out all these numbers. Let me just give you some perspective. That number that I just gave you about how many street children are on the streets around the world, that's the population of Canada. Hold on. Times four. That's how many street kids are out there on the streets if you're looking for a ministry. We got a lot of medical people in our congregation. Medical missions. This is not theory, by the way. See that man in the blue there? That's Dr. Steve Nelson, who delivered our daughter, Kimberly. Medical missions is like an open door for the gospel. Maybe God is speaking to you today. I'm a doctor, I'm a nurse, I'm a technician. You know what? God can use you in a big way, not only short term, but long term. Well, I don't know how to preach, and I'm not a doctor. Aviation, we need people to fly missionaries around. We need mechanics to keep the planes. Well, I'm not a mechanic. What about Bible translation? Maybe you're more of the brainy type. Of the 6,912 languages around the world, look at this. We don't have time to look at this, but look at these two bottom ones. Right now, 1,953 Bible translations are in progress. We still need 2,251. Look at this girl. You know what she's saying? I want the Bible in my language, please. Bible translation. Teaching is missions. That's right. Teaching is missions. This is the Nate St. Memorial School where our children went to school. Somebody, young ladies came down, and that's how they served as missions. By the way, it doesn't have to be a mission school. When we are in Fiji, the brethren have a school that has 1,200 students from K through 12. They said they would take any American teacher. Most of them are unsaved. You can go to Fiji, live on the beach, by the way. Now, what about this? We're about ready to close here. Well, I'm retired. What can I do? Let me tell you something. When we were on the mission field, we were so blessed to have retired Christians come down and spend their golden years serving us as missionaries and serving the Lord. For example, let me show you something here. There's my little statement. Hey, retire from your job, not from life. You see this young lady here? Would you know that when our kids were in the Nate St. Memorial School, a retired teacher from Canada came down? Yeah, she was the teacher. Now, many of us are baby boomers. I would like to challenge you today. As you consider your retirement, would you consider possibly retiring on the mission field? Serving as a teacher? Serving in some capacity on the mission field? Get your, you know, like Rick Bovey. Rick Bovey's down in Quito. He gets his retirement. I got to tell you, if you ask Rick today, Rick, you having a good time down there? This is probably the best phase of his life. God is using him tremendously. As we close today, it's the last Sunday of the year. As we begin 2013, would you do me a favor? Would you go to the Lord in the next weeks or two? Lord, am I using my spiritual gift? Am I involved? Do I even notice the lost people that live next door to me or in the next cubicle? Am I growing? I want to challenge all of us here, all of us, young and old. In the new year, let's get involved in Bible studies, in prayer meetings. Let's get a war mentality going here at Fenton Crossing. Would you do me a favor? Would you think globally? Would you live globally? Would you become a world Christian? Not a worldly one, but a world Christian who thinks globally. Where do I fit in? Where is my destiny in God's global plan for the nations? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us in this last year. Father, many times our evangelistic efforts are pathetic. Lord, we confess that much of the time we live for self, for pleasure. Lord, I pray in the new year that you would pour out your Spirit upon our congregation here. Lord, move away our coldness, our aloofness, our divisions. Lord, grant us a warlike mentality. Be glorified, Lord. Thank you for those who are serving. Bring unity. Bring repentance. Bring glory to your name in the new year in our lives. Amen.